Welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's a great day to worship God despite the rain, perhaps for the rain. And so I'm so glad that you are all here today. Can we all just take some breaths together? So breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. You are here today for a reason, to come together in community and be reminded of just how loved you are, just as you are. And so that's the kind of community that we want to create here in Christ Chapel. So know that you are always welcome, just as you are, that there is a place for you here, and that we are all in this together. Just a couple words about worship today. We will be celebrating Holy Communion. Know that this is Christ's gift for you, so let there be no barrier to your participation if you feel called to participate. Christ welcomes you to this meal, and so do we. A couple times throughout the service, we'll be using our hymnals to sing different hymns of the church. The ones that we will be using today are the brighter red cranberry in front of you. Sound good? All right. Let's stand as you are comfortable, and we'll face the back font area.
Baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks for the life that is continually given to us, naming us as beloved and making us one in Christ. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life, for the water to bathe in, water to drink, for waters to play in, and waters of beauty, for water that inspires wonder and water that gives life to our planet. The gift of this water unites us. You shower your people with life. In the beginning, your spirit moved over the waters of creation, and by your word, life and splendor were born. Through the waters of the flood, you renewed the face of the earth. This story is our story. You shower your people with life. In the wilderness, Hagar and Ishmael discovered your well of water, and after leading your people out of bondage and through the sea, you nourished them with water from the rock. This story is our story. You shower your people with life. At a wedding feast, guests celebrated with water turned to wine. At the well, living water satisfied the longings of the Samaritan woman. Through your mercy, you bring forth a river that nourishes the tree of life for the healing of the nations. By Jesus' own baptism with water and spirit, everlasting life is open to all people. This story is our story. You shower your people with life. Come down, O love divine. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Be our rock. Calm our fears, make us one. Shower us with life as we come and see what you have in store. We give you thanks, Holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing our gathering song, number 461 in the red hymnal. That's number 461, All Who Hunger Gather Gladly. grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Instead of fear, help us to bring you our doubts, restlessness, and all of the expectations and longings that stir within us. Help us look for signs of growth and follow as they lead us through an open door. Amen. Please be seated.
Reading from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock deep into the wilderness, Moses came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The messenger of God appeared to Moses in a blazing fire from the midst of a thorn bush. Moses saw that the bush was aflame with fire, yet it wasn't consumed. Moses said, "Let me go over and look at this remarkable sight and see why this bush doesn't burn up." When God saw Moses coming to look more closely, God called out to him from the midst of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses answered, "I am here." God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Please stand if you're comfortable to read the gospel. John was by the Jordan again with two of his disciples. Seeing Jesus walk by, John said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what John said and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned around and noticed them following, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," Jesus answered. So they went to see where he was staying, and they spent the rest of the day with him. It was about 4 p.m. One of the two who had followed Jesus after hearing John was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The first thing Andrew did was to find Simon Peter and to say, "We found the Messiah," which means the anointed one. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, who looked hard at him and said, "You are Simon Ben-Jonah. I will call you Rock," that is Peter. Hear the life-giving gospel. You may have a seat. What are you looking for? This is the very first words we hear from Jesus in this Gospel of John. On one level, the question is quite simple. Why are these two men following behind Jesus? But then on another level, the question is quite complex. It's existential in nature. What do these followers of Jesus expect to find? What are they seeking that has led them to follow Jesus? This second question is much harder to answer. And you'll notice in the story that Andrew and the other disciple are quite unable to answer it. When Jesus asks them, "What are you looking for?" they respond with another question, "Teacher, where are you staying?" There are no easy answers to the questions that Jesus asks of us. One of the beautiful things about studying at a liberal arts college such as Gustavus is that they are places where difficult, sometimes unanswerable questions continue to be asked. They're almost countercultural in that way. In a world that increasingly demands simple answers to complex questions, here at Gustavus, you will be asked to linger a little bit longer in the murky waters of critical thoughts. This may feel frustrating, because we go to college to learn the answers, right? And at times you may feel pressured to have an answer to everything. We could easily rephrase Jesus' initial question to his disciples as, "What do you want to do with your life?" How many of you have heard a variation of that question already in the past few days? What do you want to do with your life? But if we can learn anything from the disciples' story, might it be that questions don't always have to be answered? There is something faithful and spiritual about asking hard questions of ourselves, our intentions, and consequently our world. So first, know that the work that you will engage in here at Gustavus, even when it is hard or frustrating, it's not just educational, it's holy and sacred work. Jesus asks a lot of questions throughout the Gospels, questions to which there are rarely simple or easy answers. And rarely, if ever, does Jesus answer these questions for his followers. In the story from John, when the disciples fail to engage the question at hand, "What are you looking for?" Jesus doesn't give his new followers the answers, nor does he reprimand them. Instead, he simply asks them to come and see. In doing so, Jesus is inviting his new followers into relationship. He invites the disciples into relationship with him because this ministry of questioning and exploring is best done in community with one another. We were not meant to discern tough questions alone. And I might also venture to say that we weren't meant to do much of life. It's important to remember, though, that Jesus doesn't invite the disciples to follow him because it will make their lives better or because somehow they are the most perfect version of followers. Jesus doesn't even call his disciples with the intention that one day they will figure it all out. The disciples were kind of a collection of misfits. They weren't the most studied or wisest of individuals. They make mistakes. They assume the wrong intentions. They're kind of a hot mess throughout most of the Gospels. Yet in the simple invitation to come and see, Jesus invites his disciples to come just as they are, to bring all of who they are, questions, doubts, confusion, all of it to this new mission. The community that Jesus invites his disciples into would be foundational for Jesus' work in the world. Not even Jesus is interested in doing this work alone. In his time on earth, Jesus challenged the institutions of his time. He invited people into community that had traditionally been cast aside. He touched those who were thought to be untouchable. He spoke boldly against a regime that sought to benefit some while others remained oppressed. And though they may not have fully understood what was happening, the disciples were invited into it all just as they were. Jesus would even commission his disciples to go out and do the same thing. This was was risky work. This work required asking critical, vulnerable questions of the world and those who inhabited it, not just to accept the simple answers to complex questions. This work would eventually lead Jesus to the cross because evil thrives off of complacency, and questioning at its heart is an act of resistance. The disciples and Jesus needed each other. This work needed to be done in community. And in this community, the disciples and their world were transformed. There may be times when you too need to ask some risky, vulnerable questions. There may be times when we collectively, as Gustavus Adolphus College, will need to ask difficult questions of ourselves or of our world. If we are striving to be a community of excellence, service, justice, and faith, we too, along with Jesus, will need to push back against easy answers, at times questioning the status quo, so that all might have the abundant life promised to us in Christ. Again, this is not easy work. But just like Jesus and his disciples, this community has been called together for a purpose, to do this work as one body. Your time at Gustavus may be filled with some of the greatest moments of your life. You will laugh. You will build a chosen family. You will excel. You will learn, find new mentors, stretch yourself, explore your passions, use your gifts. The disciples, too, experienced joy in their ministry. They witnessed miracles. They saw people healed. They found an empty tomb. But Jesus never promised his disciples that their journey would be easy, safe, or even all that good. In their ministry, alongside their joy, the disciples would also witness hurt, corruption, brokenness within their world and within themselves. In your time here at Gustavus, there too will be times when you fail. You will make mistakes. You will question your purpose. You too will witness hurt, corruption, and brokenness within your world and within yourself. This is why it's so important that we go about this complex life together as a community. Because when one of us stumbles, there will be another to pick us up. When one of us is hurting, another will be there with a simple presence that can heal. And I promise that as a called chaplain to this community, you can bring me your hurt, your shame, your fears, your questions, your doubt, your anger, and I will hear it all. You will not scare me. I will not run away. God knows I have been there too. Instead, I will remind you of God's unrelenting love for you in both your highest of highs and your most lowest of lows. I will remind you of Jesus' never-ending grace and that there is nothing you could ever experience in this life that would separate you from a love like this, the love of God. And then we will work to move forward together as a community. Because that's what communities do. Looking back at this gospel story from John, I think of Andrew and then the other disciple. And the other disciple is never named in this story, and so I wonder if this unnamed disciple might represent all of us. As we too begin a new chapter in our lives, I wonder how we might engage Jesus' question. What are you looking for? What are we looking for? We, like the disciples, may not have the answer to that question, but I think that may be the point. But we too are invited to see how we might be transformed in the coming years. We too are invited to engage difficult questions of ourselves and our world. We too are invited to see how God might work through us. And we too can bring our full selves to this work. We may not know exactly what these next years will hold, but Jesus says to us too, come. come and see.
Amen.
Into a time of prayer, and you all should have, as you arrived, received one of these strips of paper. And what we're going to do is knit our collective prayers together to remind ourselves that as we pray, we can carry each other's burdens and our joys and our hopes for this world. So what's going to happen is we're going to play some music, and you will take that time to write your prayer on this strip of paper. There are some pens and pencils to share with those around you in the inner side of the seating here. And if you are wanting some prompts for your prayer, there's some in the bulletin too, but really this time is yours to pray in whatever way you feel most comfortable. So after you have written your prayer, and if you are comfortable, you can approach either this table up here or a similar table in the back, whichever is closest or with few people, and you will connect your prayer to the person's prayer before you, making a nice little paper chain. And as we go throughout this worshiping community throughout the year, our prayer chain will grow and grow and grow. So even if you don't make it back for another worship service, which I hope that's not the case, but if that were true, your prayers would still be connected to everyone else's, that you are still a part of this community no matter what, okay? So write out your prayers, hook it to your prayer chain, and we'll watch that community grow throughout our time here this year. So let's pray.
Gracious God, we give you all of these prayers and whatever else may be weighing heavily on our hearts, trusting in your mercy and the love made known to us through Jesus Christ. The peace of God is with you all. Please greet those around you with a word of peace.
Please stand as you are able. Let us pray. Loving God, it is through your goodness that we have gifts to offer. May we know your presence in our sharing as we celebrate the life that Jesus has shared among his community through the centuries and shares with us now. Made one in Christ and with each other, we offer these gifts and with them ourselves, a single living act of praise. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times, in countless places, and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power-hungry, and fragile, lonely lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and the wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story, as it's been told 1,000 times over. We eat the bread and we drink the wine, and we affirm that we all belong to this table and that Jesus is here. Remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and we share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The table is now ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and all who love him. It is the table of sharing with the marginalized of the world with whom Jesus identified. It is the table of communion with the earth and with each other, in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith and you who would like some more, you who have been here often and you who have not been here for a very long time, you who have tried to follow Jesus and you who have failed, you who bring hope and you who bring doubt. Come just as you are. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. All are welcome at this meal of grace. You might be seated, and the ushers will direct you forward. We do have a gluten-free and a grape juice option, so please let your servers know if you would like those.
Thank you.
you are comfortable. Let us pray. Gracious God, generous Mother of Life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into a new creation. Please remain standing as we sing our sending song, and it's in your red hymnal again, number 720. Sunday worship will take place in Christ Chapel in the evening at 6:30 p.m. We know that college students don't tend to be up early on Sunday morning, and so we're switching to an evening time this year. So if you hear other students on campus talking about worship at 10:30, that's not happening. Come at 6:30 on Sundays. And also, to make that worship service what you want it to be, we would love to know what your gifts are and how you would like to help lead and contribute to that community. So Maggie is our Director of Campus Ministries, so you can always reach out to Maggie and tell her, hey, I'm really good at XYZ, whatever it might be. I'd love to help contribute that to our worshiping community here at Gustavus. Also, Rachel works in the Office of the Chaplains, as does Zach, who is on the piano, and Matt in the back. They all know what's going on, too, and can help you get involved. So please reach out. We'd love to have you be a part of our community of campus ministry here at Gustavus. What was that, Matt? Shaking your bin back there? Okay. We will recycle your bulletins unless you want to keep them as a keepsake. Today, after you have lunch at 1:15, you'll be back in here for an interfaith panel. So we have students from different religious traditions who will be here with us talking about what it's like to be Augusti and to be exploring different religious backgrounds. So we invite you back for that. And also, every day at 10 a.m., we have daily Sabbath in here. It starts on Tuesday with opening convocation, which is when the faculty put on all their fancy robes and caps and everything, do a big processional, and President Bergman will speak. So we invite you to come Tuesday. Wednesday will be Gustavus Choral students leading us in a liturgy that comes out of the Catholic tradition, but that is a favorite of Gusti's. Thursday, Alex Leship Rosales will be our student speaker at Daily Sabbath, so Alex has a great message. We invite you to come for that. And then Friday, the Gustavus Wind Orchestra will fill the balcony and blow all their horns and everything super loud while we all sing hymns really loud. Super fun. So we invite you to join us at 10 a.m. for Daily Sabbath, Monday through Friday. Receive this blessing. May God the Creator take care of things beyond your control. May Christ the Teacher root you in all knowledge and open you to new things. And may the Spirit of discernment shape a future for you that you can't even imagine and lead you from stress into peace.
People of God, go in peace to love
and to serve.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.